Schopenhauer is quite happy at this point to join paths with those traditions in Indian philosophy that emphasize the dreamlike character of waking experience. His views are similar to those expressed in the ancient Hindu scriptures called the Vedas or the Puranas.
Here, indeed, the close relationship between life and the dream is brought out for us very clearly. We will not be ashamed to confess it after it has been recognized and expressed by many great men. The Vedas and Puranas know no better simile for the whole knowledge of the actual world, called by them the web of Maya, than the dream, and they use none more frequently.
Schopenhauer was the first Western philosopher to connect his own philosophy with Indian philosophy. His interest in it apparently stems from his acquaintance with a German scholar, Friedrich Mayer. Schopenhauer met Mayer in 1813 during his second stay in Weimar. Schopenhauer later read as much as he could about India. Indeed, he found that many Hindu and Buddhist views were congenial to his own thoughts, especially to his version of idealism. The main book that Schopenhauer enjoyed was called the Upanishad. This work is a Latin translation of a Persian translation of the Upanishads, the ancient scriptural texts of Hinduism. Despite the double translation barrier, Schopenhauer had a thorough grasp of the underlying philosophical doctrines in the Upanishads. Schopenhauer was not the only thinker in Germany to have read and understood these works of Indian philosophy, but he was the first to integrate them into his own thoughts. One remarkable passage shows the breadth of Schopenhauer's mind as he draws together the views of Plato, Kant, and Indian philosophy. He first refers to Plato's famous analogy that sense experience is like the shadows thrown on the wall of a cave. Then he continues,
"The same truth, though presented quite differently, is also a principal teaching of the Vedas and Puranas, namely the doctrine of Maya, by which is understood nothing but what Kant calls the phenomenon as opposed to the thing in itself. For the work of Maya is stated to be precisely this visible world in which we are, a magic effect called into being, an unstable and inconstant illusion without substance, comparable to the optical illusion and the dream, a veil enveloping human consciousness, a something of which it is equally false and equally true to say that it is and that it is not.
The world that we see, hear, and feel is an illusion. This illusion veils the reality of the will. According to Schopenhauer, this diaphanous veil of sense experience allows us to partially glimpse the will, but we never can see its true nature. Fortunately, our contact with the will is not limited to sense experience. We have an immediate experience of the will within ourselves. This experience of the will not only reveals to us our true nature, it also lifts the veil which hides the nature of existence in general. Schopenhauer argues that our bodies give us a unique perspective in the world. Our bodies are part of the world. They can be known by us and by others, but this is not the only experience we have of our bodies. If we were to see our bodies in actions only as material objects, objects that are necessarily subject to physical and behavioral laws, then we would be strangers to ourselves. Each of us also experiences our body from the inside. In Schopenhauer's opinion, our introspective acquaintance with our own body shows us the other side of appearance, a side of appearance hidden from us in every other object. From this inner side, we observe the will as the motive force behind all of our actions. What explains all that we do and feel? Schopenhauer says,
"This answer is given in the word will. This and this alone gives him the key to his own phenomenon, reveals to him the significance and shows him the inner mechanism of his being, his actions, his movements. To the subject of knowing, who appears as an individual only through his identity with the body, this body is given in two entirely different ways. It is given in intelligent perception, as representation, as an object among objects, liable to the laws of these objects. But it is also given in quite a different way, namely as what is known immediately to everyone and is denoted by the word will.
Our immediate experience of our own will provides us with the clue to the inner nature of the world as will. In Schopenhauer's philosophy, each person is a microcosm of the world. Each person is revealed both as representation and as will, as appearance and as thing in itself.
In fact, our willing is the only opportunity we have of understanding simultaneously from within any event that outwardly manifests itself. Consequently, it is the one thing known to us immediately, and not given to us merely in the representation, as all else is. Here, therefore, lies the datum alone capable of becoming the key to everything else, or, as I have said, the only narrow gateway to truth.
Schopenhauer says that our inward observation of the will is immediate, but he doesn't imply that we can exhaustively or adequately know the will from this experience. Our own will is a spring from which the will emerges into our consciousness. We're not restricted to complete ignorance of the thing in itself, as Kant had thought, but our experience also does not penetrate to the deepest recesses of the will.
For in the case of every emergence of an act of will, from the obscure depths of our inner being into the knowing consciousness, there occurs a direct transition into the phenomenon of the thing in itself that lies outside time. Accordingly, the act of will is indeed only the nearest and clearest phenomenon of the thing in itself. Therefore, in this sense, I teach that the inner nature of everything is will, and I call the will the thing in itself. In this way, Kant's doctrine of the inability to know the thing in itself is modified to the extent that the thing in itself is merely not absolutely and completely knowable.
Schopenhauer insists that the will is a powerful influence in human experience, but he also describes the uncomfortable extent to which our own will is unknown to us. He says our true motives for action are frequently hidden from us. Many philosophers believe we know exactly what we desire because we immediately experience our desires, but Schopenhauer thinks our desires are just the tip of an iceberg whose full presence is hidden beneath the surface of our consciousness. We try to explain our actions by attributing them to motives that often conceal rather than reveal the true impulse moving us to act. In a penetrating psychological look at this issue, Schopenhauer observes that sometimes accidental circumstances reveal the truth in spite of our rational explanations.
We often do not know what we desire or fear. For years, we can have a desire without admitting it to ourselves, or even letting it come to clear consciousness, because the intellect is not to know anything about it, since the good opinion we have of ourselves would inevitably suffer thereby. But if the wish is fulfilled, we get to know from our joy, not without a feeling of shame, that this is what we desired. For example, the death of a near relation whose heir we are. Sometimes we do not know what we really fear, because we lack the courage to bring it to clear consciousness. In fact, we are often entirely mistaken as to the real motive from which we do or omit to do something, till finally some accident discloses the secret to us, and we know that our real motive was not what we thought it as being, but some other that we were unwilling to admit to ourselves, because it was by no means in keeping with our good opinion of ourselves.
Our familiar language for describing these phenomena is the psychoanalytical language of the subconscious and the id. Sigmund Freud created these terms to refer to the powerful desires and drives lurking beneath the surface of consciousness. But Schopenhauer had already made the same conceptual distinction in his language of the will. He summarizes his view with a cryptic metaphor.
Consciousness is the mere surface of our mind. And of this, as of the globe, we do not know the interior. but only the crust.
For Schopenhauer, if we're truly to know ourselves, we must delve beneath the surface of the mind and confront the will. This is the end of tape number one on Arthur Schopenhauer. The presentation is continued on tape number two.